Howdy, everybody. It's Corey Poindexter here with
Bob Fackety.
And today on Small Package.
Small Package.
We're talking about this week's Raw. We're talking about this week's SmackDown. We're making our predictions for Backlash and CM Punk's debut at UFC 203. Also, is Paige going to leave the company following Alberto Del Rio? That and so much more this week on Small
Package. Stick around for more great wrestling content.
I'm Corpse and send for the man.
All right. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Small Baggage. Yeah, what Bob said. This is episode 18 of Small Package.
Yo, that's a 1 followed by an 8.
You are listening to the number 1 ranked sports and wrestling podcast named Small Package on iTunes.
As deemed by us.
Oh no, as deemed by a fact. We are the number 1 Small Package named podcast now officially on iTunes. We've dwarfed the old podcast that someone else made a couple years ago called Small Package. So I figure since we're not on any other charts as of right now, I can go ahead and promote that we are the number 1 podcast called Small Package. It is quite the honor. We are very proud of ourselves for existing and being called Small Package. So this week in wrestling, if you guys haven't listened, we did the show with Gabe this week. We have rebranded it as Ross Down Live, recording on Tuesdays instead of Monday Night Ross recording on Mondays.
Whoa, I don't get it. Can you elaborate?
Yes.
No, don't. Seriously, please.
But I won't.
No, thank you.
So, yeah, we talked about SmackDown, a little bit about Raw. That's up on Podbean and iTunes and the other places you can find Small Package. Make sure to check that out. Also, last week's episode with Brandon Ivy.
It's a fun listen. Maybe not your normal Small Package style.
It was very, very different playing Fuck, Marry, Wrestle with Brandon. You know, we still have a lot of those matchups left, so we might do that again on another slow news week in the future.
Yeah, a lot of men for Brandon to ogle in the WWE.
Oh, man, I'm so sad we didn't get to the Jericho one. That was the only one I was really sad about, was not getting to the three stages of
But he seems so against older pictures.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know if showing a picture of him from 98 would have really revved Brandon's gears.
Yeah, unfortunate. But anyway, we had a lot of fun, and this week we also had a lot of fun on Tuesday. Not so much on Monday. So Monday Night Raw was what it was. It's kind of a slow show. I did not watch it live. We talked about that on Ross Down Live. I actually caught a stream of it on the internet that was sped up by 30%. And cropped in a little bit to avoid being caught by copyright people. Usually I wait till Monday, till Tuesday morning to watch it on Hulu. Didn't want to wait, and I still couldn't make it through. I still couldn't make it through a Raw that was sped up to only be like 2 hours long.
With no commercials.
With no commercials. It was just, you know, Sasha did a well-acted but not as well-written retirement fake-out get Dana Brooke out there and also announced that she was going to fight Charlotte at Clash of Champions, which I kind of thought that they were leaning towards Bayley since Sasha was injured and that Bayley has 2 clean victories over Charlotte. Maybe they're just setting up the inevitable Sasha loses to Charlotte and then feuds with Bayley over who should get the next shot. I don't know.
Hopefully they turn Sasha heel against Bayley.
Yeah, I mean,
Sasha works so much better as a heel.
That's true. And they couldn't turn Bayley heel. Like, Bayley is the John Cena of the women's
division. Absolutely.
Like, can you imagine? Could you even try to think of what a heel Bayley would look like?
she'd have to be like a comedy heel, because I don't think she could be, you know, a serious threat heel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe if they took all the colorful ribbons off and replaced all the tassels with, like, black tassels. And
all of the inflatable tube men are black now, and...
No, no, they're still the same color.
Or do they inflate up as, like, crosses that, like, burn?
Ugh. I was going to say they're exactly the same.
She becomes the Undertaker, Bailey.
Her fucking theme song slowed down. No, I was going to say...
I'm a killer.
I was going to say it's the exact same tube men, but with, like, machetes. Like, blood-covered machetes on their hands. They're just covered in knives. Confetti comes down, but the confetti is all, like,
man, got poison. Man, too bad Raw doesn't do, like, a Halloween show every year.
They should, really. Don't like, you
they
think?
They did that Christmas, the Christmas shows for a while. I don't think mm-hmm. they did one this past year. But, man, like, a Halloween show where everyone, like, dresses up and has fun.
I don't think this past year's great. Raw was, like, 100% Christmas theme, like in the past, but I think that they obviously mentioned Christmas.
Well, yeah, but there's no like Santa wrestling segments.
Oh man, those are great.
Like non kayfabe.
Sometimes stuff. They're Mick Foley too. He'll just dye his beard white and stuff, and he'll be Santa. They'll probably do that this year because he's the GM now. But
SmackDown.
I freaking loved when Santa got hit by Alberto Del Rio's car. And then, like, and Alberto Del Rio was kind of on like a face turn at the time. But I mean, you can't potentially kill Santa and still be face.
Yeah, no, it's hard to kill Santa and come out as the good guy.
Also, he was going to be facing John Cena, so it's like by default too. And then Santa came back and beat the fucking shit out of him. I loved it. I hope they do that this year. I hope they just do like another like Santa's a badass, like a closet badass, and he just comes out and is like, ho, ho, ho. Just like beating people up. That's what I want to see. Anyway. I mean, we can get to what happened this week, but I mean, there's so little.
There's a couple things that I did want to talk about.
Is this outside of Raw and SmackDown?
No, this is actually related to Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
First off, I don't know if you saw the End Zone Cast versus Shining Stars match.
I don't believe I did.
And so and Cass did a pretty lame promo about giving birth, and it was dumb.
I heard a few people say that they actually liked Enzo's performance of it because it felt like it just like they let him just sort of go.
Yeah, I can see that. There was funny lines. It was just a poor concept.
I mean, that happens. I heard they gave birth to something.
It was just air, but you know,
like a fake giving birth.
You know.
I see.
Wait,
who did Enzo give birth or Big Cass give birth?
Enzo.
Oh, okay. I think it would have been funnier if they thought of Big Cass putting his legs up like they're in stirrups.
That anyway. Being said, Enzo made this suicide dive that you need to see.
Is it? Whoa, wait. Whoa, and he just lands walking? He just
stands there like a goddamn king.
That's dope as fuck. And is that on Squared Circle or something right now?
Yeah.
That way people can at home can find this GIF. Go to Squared Circle.
But you know who won that match?
The Shining Stars.
Yes, they did.
I do want everyone at home to know that even though I admittedly did not watch all of Raw, I did read the results. I'm not 100% uninformed and ignorant coming into the show. But I saw the Shining Stars won and I just went, huh. So there clearly had to have been a high level of shenanigans, right? Like, I mean, it's not, they didn't win clean, did they?
It wasn't that dirty if it was dirty. I think it was a kind of a distraction thing. I don't really remember what happened.
Okay. I hope they didn't win clean. Cause if the Shining Stars won clean, Jesus, I don't know what that. I mean, I guess Enzo and Cass can afford once in a while to lose clean, but...
Yeah, the way I see it is, I mean, it's not like this is going to really hurt them.
Yeah. It's also, I want to see what happens to them tag team-wise since they already gave Cass that first little taste of a singles push by putting him in that Fatal 4-Way. Speaking of that Fatal 4-Way, where Kevin Owens won the championship, we loosely talked about it last week. Yeah, we spent so much time playing Fuck, Marry, Wrestle that we didn't actually talk too much about
mm-hmm.
what happened on Raw. It was great to see Kevin Owens win.
Yeah. The big problem, though, is that Raw didn't really have much Kevin Owens. Like, we all love Kevin Owens for what he says on the mic and what he does. And then they're like, yeah, welcome to Monday Night Raw after a crazy twist ending. And it's the same thing as usual. We don't have to worry about anything that fans want to know about.
Yeah, that was actually exactly where I was going with it.
And there's no trips at all, which, exactly. I mean, I've seen some commend WWE for their slow burn storytelling.
Right.
But, like,
something.
You can't just, like, slap someone in the face and the next time you see them just be like, hey, we're cool, nothing happened. So you're like, no, remember that time?
It's weird. It's almost like they listened to our podcast for the last few months and heard Bob go, they always blow their load immediately, they always immediately jump off, and they were like, oh, let's go the opposite extreme and just do something and then not
so address it. Here's the difference is that when I say they just blow their load, I mean you have a pay-per-view, and then the next night, you have the next pay-per-view's main event, women's match, tag match, like, all, like, the feuds just lined up.
Right.
And you're just like, okay, I guess this is the program for the night. Like,
rather than building it over time.
Yeah, and half of them, especially as of late, just seem to be assigned. Like, right. It's not natural storytelling.
It's like someone saying, this is who you're fighting.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, okay, well, it's time for me to get in, into some scuffles with you because we're having our big match in a couple weeks.
Right.
And, like, especially, you know, the biggest example here is the Orton-Lesnar one, where they literally were just like, and Brock Lesnar's opponent will be Randy Orton.
Right.
And everyone went, okay.
On the flip side, SmackDown has been handling it much better. Much better.
They really have. It the way they have been booking, it makes sense, you know?
And even the assigned match that they have, the Miz versus Ziggler for the IC.
But, like, that still makes sense.
Exactly.
Because Ziggler cut that promo in the at the start of SmackDown last week.
Exactly. That's, to me, that's why even the, quote, assigned match on SmackDown still felt organic versus Raw. And I guess it isn't the opposite of what you were saying before. I guess it's more like, instead of just blowing their load on this story and then just dribbling it the rest of the way, they blew their load and then threw everything into the closets. You couldn't see it.
Yeah, no, they're like, do this amazing thing that I like.
Which it was amazing seeing Kevin Owens win after trips.
It's like they you know, sit us down for a fireworks display and everyone's amazed. And then the fireworks display ends. And then they're just like, yeah, you're probably going to want those house lights kind of see what's going on to find your way back home. We're like, nope, you're going to sit in the dark. Yeah. That's great. And so everyone's just kind of stumbling around, confused.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I really wanted to see Triple H, or at least more discussion about why he did what he did. Or, you know, I mean, I get the whole.
And it's not even trips and why he did what he did. Like, nobody even was like, hey, Stephanie, what was that about your husband? I mean, they kind of did, and she was like, I didn't know, but like,
it was like 5 minutes at the head of Raw with Mick Foley, with a small interrupt by Seth Rollins, and that was basically it. And also it ended with Mick Foley being like, okay, I believe you, the end. And then he walks away, and it's like, you know, everyone was acting like, you know, Seth was being a giant douchebag. It's like, I mean, he did get fucked over in that match. I mean, I know face and heel, and we're going to go down that road, but I'm just like, even still, like, the face is kind of acting like Seth was being overreacting. It's like, no, I mean, he got pedigreed in a match. I know he was just a heel, but still. Anyway, so Raw happened.
And then my other thing about that is, I think it's weird still that Seth is using the pedigree. I mean, I've kind of had a problem with it ever since he started, because, like, get your own finisher.
Right.
But then he just had it used on him by his former, like, mentor, basically.
Right.
In the middle of the match to lose the championship belt, like.
And then he's going to use that move the next week on Raw.
Yeah, to win a match. And you're just like, don't you have any respect for yourself? You're Seth Rollins. Yes, you do. Like,
right. His moveset was a lot different. He did a lot. He fought faster, I felt like. I felt like, because before, as the heel, he couldn't work the high-flying stuff as much because it's a face style. Like, that's why a lot of, most of the time, not 100% of the time, obviously, but a lot of the times that high-flying lucha style is a face thing. So when he was, you know, a heel, he had to kind of check himself and, you know, make sure that he didn't use too much high-flying stuff as a heel. Now that he's, you know, going in as the face, he can start to speed it up a little bit. He can get faster. He can do more stuff that'll get him popped from the crowd. But I agree with you. It's kind of weird. I understood why he had the pedigree before when he was part of the Authority. It made sense. Mm-hmm. We're passing the torch to you. You're the future. Yeah. Here's the pedigree. But now that it's been used to fuck him up, I don't think he should. I think the only time he should use the pedigree
is against Trips.
Exactly.
Yeah, to get the one up on him.
That would make sense. But against just random opponents, I don't feel like he should be using it right now. I mean, I know we can't go back to the curb stomp, but it's not like there's not 10,000 moves.
Right? Just get a new one.
Literally,
like, use the superplex to Falcon Arrow thing.
Oh,
like,
that's sick. That's dope,
that's
right?
Such a sick move.
Or just load up WWE 2K16 and just go under the finishers page and just
find scroll one. Through. Anyway.
Cobra Clutch.
Oh,
by the way, one last thing. Fucking Darren Young using the Cobra Clutch and calling it the chicken wing is the fucking funniest thing.
I don't think anyone's actually hit a proper crossface chicken wing since this whole thing has started.
Backlund has, which is the funniest part, is that Backlund started to put Titus into an actual crossface chicken wing. It didn't work because he's old and Titus is fucking huge. But then, like, Darren comes out and puts him in the Cobra Clutch and it's just like, he's like, yeah, chicken wing. It's like, no, it's fucking not. That's Sergeant Slaughter's move. Speaking of Sergeant Slaughter, Bob, you noticed something really cool.
Yeah, well, the weird subliminal messaging at the start of Seth Rollins' new entrances. He tweeted out, he was like, you know, rebuild, reclaim,
redesign, or whatever.
Whatever. It hasn't meant more than now, you know? Like, it's most important, whatever.
Whatever.
And now they're, like, tweaking his, like, entrance video.
Well, they've had to tweak everybody's with the way that they do the split. Because yeah, there's not the big, like, the big...
But his got subliminal anymore. Messaging.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
It said Floyd Money Mayweather, and, like, that text line had more than Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah, but it kept going.
But you couldn't really make out what it said. It just, you could tell that it was like Floyd Money Mayweather and then some garbly text.
Right, but then Sergeant Slaughter is clear as day.
Just pops up on the screen. And it only pops up there for like a frame or two. So like you really blink and you miss it. It's not like, you know, it just said like Seth Rollins, Sergeant Slaughter on the screen.
Yeah.
It was like a very quick little flash. Who knows? I mean, WWE is very careful with this kind of stuff. So usually if it's there, it means something. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sergeant Slaughter comes back and is the manager for Seth, and that would be awful. I would hate that. I've never been a huge fan of Sergeant Slaughter, and I've been less of a fan of him every time he's come back to do something, with the exception of Camp WWE.
He was so great on Camp WWE.
Like, he's perfect in Camp WWE. Everything else, I'm like, don't bring this man back. He's a weirdo. Who knows? We'll find out. What other fun stuff is going on
right
now? Well,
so the end of Raw ends with Roman walking out onto the ramp, sans vest.
Oh my god. Well, let's backtrack for just 1 second. So somebody, like a week ago, it happened right after we recorded for last week's episode, that this was like really trending. We'd heard some jokes about it before, you know, Reddit shitposting and stuff coming into real life, like somebody wished it into reality. So somebody made a change.org petition that was to send a letter to Vince McMahon demanding that the cheater Roman Reigns remove his bulletproof vest that he wears for in-ring competition. And it's clearly trollery, but it was fun, right, and a lot of people signed it.
Then Rolling Stone and a couple other news outlets legitimately reported on it.
Which was pretty, that's how I actually heard about it, was I opened up my like Google News app and it was like, oh, you're interested in WWE. Well, Rolling Stone just wrote an article, and I went, huh. And I clicked it and it was like, change.org petition for Roman Reigns to remove his vest because it's cheating. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, and it all started from just some Reddit shit post.
Which is beautiful.
But then he shows up at the end of Raw without his vest on.
In like a wife, in the kind of like a wifey beater or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a really not 2016 word for that, but I don't know what else to call that kind of a
tank
t-shirt.
Top.
But it's I feel like it's that very thin, specific style. I don't know. We'll just say tank top. That's way better. So a Roman Reigns tank top.
Yeah, and I mean, rightfully so, says, hey, you know, I was screwed out of that match.
Nobody cares, too. Roman.
I mean, yeah, you can say nobody cares, but he has a point, which sets up a match for Roman versus... Who is it? Is it Jericho? Mm. It's either Jericho or Kevin Owens for next week.
Kevin Owens makes more sense.
I mean, it does make more sense, but I think Jericho is acting as a mouthpiece.
Which I love. I love
segment.
I love Jericho being a supporter.
Point is, wife. Roman has to win his match next week, and if he does, he gets added to the main event as a triple threat at Clash of Champions, which is literally the SmackDown storyline from the SummerSlam.
Oh, right.
But,
I mean, he has a point. I guess we'll see what happens with that match. I will say I love how Jericho is being like a supporting wife for Kevin Owens. It's super funny just watching Jericho just like storm out and be like, hey, you can't treat my best friend like that. We are a great Universal Champion.
Here's an interesting thing, though. Roman, obviously still the number one contender for the U.S. title.
Against Rusev.
Yeah. Mm. But Rusev just tweeted out a beautiful picture of a beach saying that his 26-day honeymoon started today.
Oh, shit.
So that certainly puts that feud on hold.
Probs. I mean,
probs? You can't exactly have a dude be on a beach for 26 days and on television at the same time.
Excuse me. You could send Roman to Bulgaria or wherever the fuck they are.
Bulgaria doesn't have sandy beaches, dude.
It could on the inside, like on a lake. Hey, I've been to plenty of lakes that have fucking damn good beaches. How dare you insult lakes, Bob? You're lakest. With your elitist water. Ooh, if it's not the ocean, it's not a beach.
Point is, I could see him getting added as a triple threat.
Right.
Only to lose, because that would drag him out to maybe when Rusev is back.
Yeah, and they definitely...
Also, it's really funny that Clash of Champions is the next pay-per-view for Raw.
Yeah.
And the name of it is Clash of Champions. Three words. Do you know how many times they called it Clash of the Champions on Raw? Like, no. Every person called it Clash of the Champions. And Mick at one point just straight up botched the name. Like, it's not hard, guys. The name of your pay-per-view is called Clash of Champions. Just call it Clash Champions.
Yeah, they sometimes fuck up. It's like they get too into the title, and then it's just like they botch it themselves. It's like when the whole thing was happening where they were transitioning from the World Heavyweight Championship to the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, back to the WWE Championship, and then most of the people are on point, but then just some people come out, they were like, yeah, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and they're like,
universe.
It's just the world. It's just the WWE Championship. It's just, anyway.
I still have more shit to talk about with Raw. Like, Raw
I'm here with you. I also had... One thing to mention, although this is SmackDown.
Despite it being a bad show, there's still a lot going on with it.
Can I just throw out one thing real quick?
Uh-huh.
That was, in fact, not Heath Slater. I mean, we knew it wasn't his real family because he only has two kids.
Yeah.
But that was, in fact, not his wife playing his fake wife. That was definitely an actress.
I was something confirmed.
It was something we had been talking about. I wanted to know for sure because sometimes they'll just have your wife play your wife, like in makeup, but that was not his real family.
So the cruiserweight division coming to Raw. I think they said it was going to debut the night after Clash of Champions. And we already have a list of some performers confirmed through their vignettes.
Exciting.
And we got some hella good names.
Throw it out there.
Ciampa and Gargano.
So they're coming up.
So that's they're good. Making the come up.
Nice. Very good.
Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick.
Oh, nice. It's good to see him back on the main roster.
Rich Swann.
He's also coming up from NXT.
Cedric Alexander, he got signed. Papa Trips did the signing.
Can I say something real quick? Just a little branch off here. I told Mike about that. Shout out to a friend of the show, Mike Hall, if he's listening.
Lost 50 pounds.
Yeah, he did. Oh yeah, he won his. He dressed as Macho Man. I'll post a photo on our smallpackage.podbean.com blog of Mike in his Macho Man outfit. But that being said. I told him about the Cedric Alexander story and about him, you know, the please sign Cedric or whatever the fuck. And he was super into it. I actually rewatching the video with him in the person. I got misty again. Like, that's how wonderful that moment was. It was again. I had already seen it two or three times and I was just like, that's so awesome.
Right. Match of the year candidate.
So who else we got coming up?
Your boy Noam.
Yeah, Noam Dar. So we probably won't see him on WCPW.
Nah, probably not.
Oh well.
He got called up to the big leagues.
That's true, dude.
My boy Jack Gallagher. Gentleman Jack.
He's the only person I've seen who can compare, be in the same league as Sheamus when it comes to paleness.
Comes just pure whiteness.
Just nothing in his skin. It's so crazy.
Grand Metalik.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that they put in a copyright thing on.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that last week or a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So we knew that one was happening.
Right.
Tozawa.
Nice.
Gets added. And lastly, TJ Perkins.
Oh, cool.
Is the last Perkins. Confirmed CWC entrant getting added to the cruiserweight division.
On Raw. So this is not even. So there might be some of them that are going to come to NXT, maybe.
Maybe.
I really hope Ho Ho Loon was one that I really was hoping that he would.
Why? One, he was terrible in ring. Two, he has his own promotion in China. I don't think he's going to leave that.
The only reason I was saying it wasn't necessarily as much. It was more about because they just signed, what's his name? Bing?
Oh, yeah.
I was saying to get more, since they're expanding into China and in the territories over there, it would, having more people, like having more representation from China and Hong Kong would be great. I know that he, and also, let's be honest, part of NXT is developmental. So if they had signed him to that, I mean, granted, well, if he's got his own promotion.
Sign the other guy, Jason Lee or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Dude, too. He was so much better.
Yeah, dude. So that's cool. So we got a bunch of new people coming to what will be a pretty stacked cruiserweight division.
And then you can probably add guys like Neville and Sin Cara to the mix.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially since they don't really seem to be doing anything right now anyway.
Except jobbing to Braun Strowman. Hello.
Actually, that was my next thing that I was going to bring up. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the transition.
Segue! And we did that unplanned.
Right?
We're so good together.
Squash matches are moving away from jobbers. We first saw Cesaro, Braun Strowman. That's on my notes for later to talk about. That's why it's stuck in my head. We saw Braun Strowman take out Sin Cara in an actual match. Well, it was he hit him so hard it was a count out victory. But you know, he's not facing nameless jobber talent anymore. Strowman is starting to move his way up the ranks. Mm-hmm. And then Nia Jax, who is not like most girls, She started, well, I mean, she beat off a jobber, but that was Alicia Fox's friend, and so it moves into a feud with Alicia Fox, getting Nia Jax basically onto the main roster now.
Right.
With a feud with Alicia Fox, and it gets Alicia Fox on television more, which is always a good thing.
Crazy Alicia is coming back. We saw her do the freak out. I heard a rumor that the box hitting Nia was not intentional.
Oh yeah, if you look at Fox's reaction to that, she's just like,
and it was so great of Nia to stay in character and to just have that reaction she had, because right. It happened, it's in the moment, she can't just brush it off and continue her promo because she's supposed to be this like beast of a woman. So when that box hits in her face and she just stands there for a second like, what, and then just crushes Alicia into the table, and I was like, oh, that was a great recovery. Like, and that's the kind of recovery that like you expect from people with more experience, like Jericho, how he was able to recover from Neville's injury a couple, months ago. You know, you expect the veterans to be able to make that kind of recovery. Nice to see Nia Jax making that kind of recovery in the middle of a promo when something unexpected happened. And I thought it was a good, I actually went online to watch that promo and enjoyed it.
And then also related to jobbers, how do you feel about this? Bo Dallas
beating a jobber,
coming off of getting arrested for drunk and disorderly.
I like it, Michael. I love it.
I think this may be the first time he's been on television since the draft.
I think he's had a match.
Are you sure?
I am fairly certain that he tag teamed with Curtis Axel once.
Okay, maybe that was one of the weeks I missed.
Yeah, even if you watched it, you might have forgotten about it, because I'm having to stretch my memory. But I believe he did one tag team match where Curtis and him lost a match to someone else. But it's crazy that the guy just got arrested for being drunk in an airport, and he's getting arguably a push.
Honestly, I was expecting him to lose to the jobber, because I thought that would actually be kind of funny
right.
and interesting that they would, show that jobbers can win. And
right. No, I mean, that would have been a great way to end that match, but it was just, it also was kind of cool to see him, although I don't understand his gimmick right now, because he's still doing the Bo Leave, but then it says Outcast on his unitard or whatever that he's wearing, yeah. which is also like a really weird looking singlet thing.
But then he was like legit threatening in the ring, like right. he wasn't his normal goofy like oblivious self. He was like, I'm here to wrestle.
Oh yeah.
So like,
I thought,
what's going on with Bo?
Yeah, no, but I, you know what, I think it's great that, you know, because I honestly have always said, you know, it was fine for a little while when he did the bad guy who doesn't realize he's a bad guy, thinks he's a good guy thing. I was all right with it. It was fine. It obviously didn't pan out very well. But I've always said, man, they should just throw him. I mean, I've always said they should throw him in the Wyatts. I always thought that would be great. Obviously, can't do that right now with Raw. But, yeah, I mean, him going a little darker is, I mean, it can't hurt. He's already kind of hit the bottom. So, I mean, you might as well, right? Might as well just, take a crack at it. See if you can do something with a darker Bo Dallas. I mean, he's not bad in the ring. And he's confident on the mic. He's one of those guys who, much like his brother, doesn't stumble very much. I mean, we were just talking about the other night about how Bray never, it's like he never fucks up promos. And Bo Dallas also, he doesn't botch his words a lot, And even if he does, he says it so with such intent and so that air about him that even when it is a botch, we probably wouldn't even know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's like a lot of rumors going around. I don't know if you have other stuff on cue to bring up. But there's a lot of rumors going around that the plans for this one's, off of Cage Side Seats, that the plans are not for Roman to be added to the Clash of Champions main event, which is kind of weird because we were just talking about how if Rusev's on vacation, mm-hmm. And it says that he may end up working a feud with Jericho at Clash.
Jericho. that he's facing next week, probably.
Probably. Or if it is KO, then Jericho might interfere. Also, yeah, you were totally right. Chad Gable's knee injury is storyline. And AA is not going to actually miss any time.
Well, duh. When you go through such a show
right.
of injuring someone, then they're fake injured. They're not real injured.
For me, it was the only thing difficult about it is not actually having seen it because I was outside for.
It's the same thing with the Sami Zayn injury.
Right. Well, I also didn't see that one either.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. It also looks like Wade Barrett is going to Ring of Honor.
Okay. Apparently.
That'll be good for him, I guess. So that'll be pretty interesting seeing. I always liked Wade Barrett. And also Damian Sandow is doing alright over on TNA right now. He's like Aaron yeah. Rex, I think is what he's going by right yeah. now. So that's good to see him doing well over there, and Cody's been living his independent scene dreams that these matches he's always wanted to do.
Yeah, well, the just wrapped up Battle of Los Angeles this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's great. It's great for him that, you know, he's getting to do the matches he always wanted to do. Also, he was posting about how he went very vocally that he wanted WWE, even though he's not a part of it anymore, you know, contractually. But he's always part of that WWE family because of his dad. He went public about how he wanted WWE to cut ties with TMZ and ESPN. Mm-hmm. Obviously, ESPN for what they're... this is something we didn't even get to talk about. There's a reporter for ESPN that...
Just his whole gimmick is that he stirs up shit.
Right. And he's like an NBA insider for the most part, I think. Yeah.
And so, like, he just mocked Kevin Owens' son for being proud of his dad. Which is, like, dumb. I feel like the internet way overreacted to it because it's just a shithead saying a shithead comment.
Did you read, did you read the original think tweets?
Well, yeah. I mean, he definitely keeps going because right. he's an idiot. But
also, I know that they said that Kevin Owens' son has autism and that that's another reason why everyone was pissed off because they're like, you're making fun of an autistic kid. It's like, I mean, the joke was less about Kevin Owens' son and more about wrestling and wrestling fans.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a shot at wrestling fans, yeah, then it turned into like this weird thing against his son.
It was so funny because it was like the original tweet was like, you know, somebody was like, oh, Kevin Owens' son looking so proud of his father winning the championship. And then his tweet was something along the lines of like,
he knows it's fake, yeah, right?
Until he learned it was scripted, which is not like it's calling his son dumb. It's saying like, his son's a kid. So the joke is that kids don't know it's fake, and the adult fans should know it's fake. So that's why it's funny to be like, until he learned it's all predetermined, waka, waka, waka. But it wasn't like he was like, yeah, fucking dumb autistic kid, you know? So yeah, I agree with you. Like, internet kind of, it was a dumb, stupid joke. He deserves to get batted on the nose of the newspaper for it. Just like, hey, that was stupid.
Right. And he did his apology tweets and all that. And
apology tweets are bullshit, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's totally just him sitting there going, ESPN's making me fucking type this out. And
there's almost never any celebrity or public persona apology that I will believe if delivered over Twitter. It's so rare. I mean, I have a hard time believing some of them regardless because it always seems like it's PR stuff. Every once in a while you read one, you're like, oh, that felt heartfelt. That felt like they, I mean, again, it was probably 30 writers in a room going, how do we make it right? Like, how do we make our client not look like a douchebag? But tweets, especially if you're tweeting an apology, it's like,
yeah, you can only be so sincere in 140 characters or less.
Yeah. Right. Or you stretch it out over like, oh man, he tweeted out 5 tweets to apologize his whole apology.
Shit. Parentheses 2 out of 5. Yeah, I got to keep reading.
He must have really fucking meant this. It's just such a shitty way to try to apologize. It's like, I give so little of a fuck that I'm just going to post a tweet and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I did it. Stop bitching. Anyway, so, you know, that all happened and they made fun of Kevin's, or allegedly made fun of Kevin's son. But the other thing, too, is that TMZ had posted Cody's mom's or
911 call.
Yeah, or Dusty's wife. Yeah. I don't know if it was Cody's mom or Dusty's mom, but what? or Dustin's mom, because Cody and Dustin are their half brothers. Mm-hmm. I don't know whose mom it was. I think it was Cody's mom.
I mean, he is younger,
yeah.
So logically, Dusty would be with her as opposed to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but dude, let's be honest. Love is
a strange thing.
Love's a strange thing, and it's also the wrestling industry. Okay, but apparently they, you know, TMZ had shared that 911 call audio. So. And Cody was still very miffed about that, and rightly so. I think that's kind of fucked and classless to post 911 call of somebody's husband or whatever, or father or you know, father of their kid dying. But he was like, yeah, cut ties with both. And I was like, you know what? Cut ties with TMZ, maybe. I mean, they don't really have that strong of a tie right now. They've done a couple of things, but mostly it's been years since they've done anything with TMZ. ESPN, no, friend.
No, like, what they have got going with Coachman, like
they're
legitimizing WWE more
than
it's ever been.
The off the top rope segment they do on ESPN, and they do it weekly now, is fucking awesome. Like the fact that they're getting press time on ESP fucking N. And also throwing this out there, I think that they would reduce it from 3 hours to 2 hours for Raw before they would leave ESPN.
Yeah.
And that's not happening either because the advertising dollars.
Even though they sorely need it. Well,
with the Cruiserweight Classic, I think we'll be fine.
With the Cruiserweight division, everyone's all like, maybe.
Do you know what would be great? If they just.
Would be great.
If they just dedicated the entire second hour to Cruiserweight.
Huh. But then I feel like that would start making them stale.
Okay, or even if they dedicated like 45 minutes or half hour, like a dedicated
definitely chunk a half hour chunk
in,
at least
in the middle or something like that. Like
get at least one match in every night.
Like if you knew, if they were like, okay, at the top of the second hour, we do the Cruiserweight division.
I'd be so hyped for the top of the second hour.
Right, and also it meant that you would know, okay. First 20 minutes to half an hour is going to be promos almost every time. Not every time, 90% of the time. So you got promos, then you have one match, and then 10 minutes of like a fallout segment. Then, oh, it's 9 o'clock, Cruiserweight half hour. So you have the Cruiserweight. And then after the Cruiserweight, you can sort of like do some decompression matches. You know, you throw out like your bullshit matches, your End Zone casters, the Shining Stars, your New Day gimmick stuff. We don't need to get into old day just yet.
I had a note on here to talk about it, but I'm just like, no, it's just too bad. It's right. Just not even like worth being angry about. It was just so bad.
It happened. Let's all just move on. So then you'd have like the half hour to kind of like, okay, let's calm down. So that the crowd has energy for the final hour, and then your final hour goes into your main event, and then boom. I feel like you could definitely pace the show and come up with, you know, I mean, when you watch, you know, it's beyond just normal formulaic and into like when you watch a lot of good shows that you enjoy that are like reality competitions, I'm doing air quotes, you know, which WWE purports to be in a sort of way, you know, They're formulaic to the sense where you know when you watch the first 8 minutes of Cutthroat Kitchen, the first 8 minutes is him doling out the cash and explaining the rules.
And the contestants going, oh, man, I never had $25,000 in my hands before.
I was tempted to just run out with the cash because the producers wouldn't stop me. We're going to dedicate at least a third of the remaining time of the show to talk about how much Cutthroat Kitchen is so fucking dope. If you're not watching Cutthroat Kitchen, you are fucking up your life. I've not seen Camp Cutthroat yet because I've only watched stuff on the internet. But apparently Camp Cutthroat is equally great. Also, I love Alton Brown. Just you either live long, you either die the hero on Good Eats or you live long enough to become the villain of Cutthroat Kitchen. He's fantastic on the show. But my point being, You know that if you tuned into a certain whatever show, Bachelor or whatever, if you tuned in at 25 after, you almost certainly know what's going to be happening when you get in there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're on the first date. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, they're on the second dish on Cutthroat Kitchen, what have you. If you had that with Raw, where you knew, oh, I'm getting home a little late, but I'm going to get home at 9 o'clock and I'm going to be just in time for Cruiserweights. Or, oh, I'm getting home at like 9:45. There's like 15 minutes of like the filler, and then 10 o'clock starts the final. I feel like that'd be better for the show, and it would also enable fans who, I know this isn't exactly what they want, but like, it's better than tuning out completely. It would allow some fans to sort of just plan around, I can't do 3 hours of wrestling, but I can do the cruiserweight and I can do the finale.
But I can tune in from 9 to 10 at least. Right. Or...
And it would enable fans who just emotionally can't do 3 fucking hours of wrestling straight to, you know, catch part of the show and not feel like, oh, I'm jumping in blind. What's happening?
Uh-huh. There's some actual wrestling news here.
Okay.
So WWE has continued their Sheamy Cesaro tourney.
He's up 3-0 now?
No.
Or 2-0.
So he took a 3-0 lead this week. But as those paying attention on Raw heard, they're doing a live event. They did a live event today in London. And
they're back
had,
in Europe already?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, no, they're doing like a huge tour.
Right.
Like they're in London tonight and then like Germany tomorrow and then like Southeast Asia and then... Like,
yeah, I that's what I was trying to say is like, I can't believe they're already back on another European leg because it feels like
it's not a European. It's like a one stop in London.
Oh,
it's like a global tour.
Let's watch that episode of Road Trip or Ride Along. Let's watch Michael Cole ride in a car with JBL from London driving to like Kazakhstan. Something silly like that. So anyway, you were saying, so they're doing the fourth match on a dark
event? They did the fourth match. I mean, you can guess who won.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sheamus closed it out and the storyline's wrapped up. We can all go home now.
Right? That's how it works.
How can Cesaro win 4 in a row like every other person who's ever been in a best of 7 series?
But
I'm pretty sure that's how almost... I can never remember a best of 7 series that went like 3-3. You know, or like 3-3, I mean even split, I'm saying. Like a 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 and then oh, wow, they each, you know, is like zigzag. That never happens. It's always like heel wins 3 in a row, face wins 4 in a row.
Mm-hmm. But
anyway, sorry.
So obviously Cesaro won. Bringing it to 3-1, and reports from the crowd say there are a lot of people like recording it. So mm-hmm. We're probably going to get a video repackage of it on Raw next week.
Hmm. Okay.
But Chris Jericho 3 days ago, this is what I was talking about. Their huge tour. He on Instagram posted, "All right, here's this week's journey: Tampa to Detroit, to Kansas City, to London, to Hong Kong, to Manila, to Shanghai, to Baltimore, to Tampa. 4 countries and 3 continents in 9 days.
Woof.
That's so hot. That's what Raw is doing this week, and probably SmackDown. But obviously they weren't at Kansas City, which was... But anyway.
So a lot of people are talking. We haven't actually had a chance to talk too much about this. I think we briefly talked about it last week. So Alberto Del Rio is no longer at the company.
This is not official, but
no, it's
it's official as far as all of the dirt sheets are reporting it.
Yeah, a lot of them, like Meltzer and everything, are reporting it with such confidence that it seemed pretty much like ADR's gone.
Yeah, but we haven't gotten the
future endeavors
talk yet. But it seems like it's just a matter of days at
so
this point.
Apparently on Kevin Sullivan's podcast, everyone's talking about how somebody came on and talked about how the WWE had tried to convince Paige to break up with ADR, saying he was a bad influence, and that's threatened to fire her if she didn't break up with him or, you know, not use her anymore on TV. I don't know if I can necessarily believe that they would actually, I could believe that somebody within the company personally went to her and said, "Hey, if you don't break up with ADR, they kind of would like you to. I have the strong inkling that they won't use you anymore." I could maybe believe that, but to think that WWE sent somebody officially to tell her, "Break up with him or you're going to get fired," I don't think that they're stupid enough to do that.
Well, they can't.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is it's illegal. That's what I'm saying, is I don't think that they would do that. So it kind of makes me think that that's not true. Although I could see somebody personally coming up, like a trainer or something, saying like, hey, they don't like you being with ADR. I think if you broke up with him, it would help your TV time chances. I could see somebody trying to relay that message personally. Interesting thing, though, is I think Paige's suspension is up sometime in the next week. I think it's in the next 10 days or so. We're recording this on Wednesday the 7th to date this for everybody. So by the time you guys hear it, it'll be Friday the 9th. So I think it was actually within like 8 days or so of this podcast going up on Friday. I think her suspension is up. So we'll see if she's on TV. Because if her suspension was up on, I think I heard it was the 17th. That's a Sunday, or it's a Saturday, which means Monday the 19th, we could see her back on Raw. I honestly feel like if her suspension goes up and we don't see, I know she won't wrestle. I know she's still nursing an injury, but if we don't see her on TV, I think it's a bad omen. And Meltzer himself said that he took this as a sign that she'd probably be done with the company. That's what he was saying. His interpretation of all this is that she probably, if we don't see her, that she may not be back. Which would really be crazy because she's so young and they put so much stock in her when they signed her. You know, Trips really tried to take her under his wing. So, man, if they let go and future endeavored Paige over all this, I mean, they still have a strong women's division. It's not like it would be crippled or anything. It would just be a very, very unfortunate waste of an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's this is like dirt sheet rumor stuff. Another one off of Cage Side. WWE's thinking about doing a cruiserweight division on SmackDown, depending on how well Raw's goes. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't think I like that because
SmackDown's kind of cruising along really well as it is. Yeah. I don't want to force more, you know, they only have 2 hours, force that time to also go to cruiserweights when we already have a show with cruiserweight. Like,
there have been some great products and innovations throughout the years that have been ruined by trying to put too much into something that was already good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When something's already great, don't try to add more great stuff to it without the need for it. Right now, SmackDown's the better show.
Yeah. I mean, I thought talking smack was too much, and I've been proven wrong on that. But, like,
yeah.
At least that's not on TV. Like, that's a very,
oh yeah,
you know, non-crucial show.
It is
produced good, some good. It's produced some great moments, but
oh yeah, it's definitely. I've actually think that I don't know. Like last night's. I mean, I like how it's definitely integrated storyline wise. So it's something that it's like it's not 100% a necessity. But just the fact that, like, they announced Gable's injury. I know it's kayfabe, mm-hmm. but they announced Gable's injury on the show. The whole Miz storyline started from a promo on there. Dolph Ziggler came on to address the whole Miz thing last night.
The Carmella Nikki feud continued.
Yeah. That was also great. Like,
what I hope WWE does mm-hmm. is seize the success of Talking Smack and makes Raw 2.5 hours and then makes the last half hour of their TV time a post show.
I mean, that'd be better
because it would still allow for 3 hours of TV content.
Oh yeah.
And it would allow only 2.5 of that to actually be wrestling content. And then they can do their own post show with their own kayfabe interviews and
oh yeah
stuff.
That would actually be, I mean, I feel like that would keep it at 3 hours, so then you still have the advertising TV revenue. But I mean, and doing it on the even on USA on the cable side would still work,
right?
It'd be interesting
to have it on USA. Like that's fine. It's not like they're, you know, they aren't really making use of their network.
Oh yeah,
you know, they're not swearing and blading and shit on a talk show. So,
So I want to get wrapping up here in a few minutes. We've gone for a little while already.
Mm-hmm.
Cruiserweight Classic still going strong.
Yeah, we haven't seen this one.
We are behind a week on it right now, but next Wednesday, I think, is the final.
Yeah, I was going to say, this should be the last, they're doing the second half of the...
They're doing a two-hour finale, I think, Wednesday, so we'll have to definitely watch Wednesday and get caught up before then. And who knows? I mean, we record the podcast on Wednesdays usually, so, hey, maybe we can, I don't know, record, and I don't know, you don't usually enjoy watching while recording, so it's distracting.
It's a distraction, and then it leads to a lot of dead air.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you want to have the watch along, but it'll separate, have like 3 minutes of us just kind of going.
That's true.
Then
we could even, in theory, I mean, this is just, you know, throwing this out there right now. We could even record the podcast, and then since it is a live event that's happening on the network, we could record a watch along if people so were inclined to throw up the, like, if they're not watching it live and they wanted to throw the track of us watching it with it. Now, I don't know if people want to hear our dumb voices over amazing wrestling. So I don't know. We'll probably won't do that. It seems like a lot of work, but I don't know. We'll see. And other news. Oh yeah, this weekend is finally CM Punk has come to you. See, we finally get Mickey Gall versus CM Punk at UFC 203. Mickey Gall, from what I looked, they're pretty close in terms of, like, if you look at, like, tail of the tape, you know, there's not a gigantic difference, it looked like, in size and in reach. I had a hard time finding reach, actually, but just looking at CM Punk versus Gall, you know, what's funny is it looks like the UFC fight doesn't have information on CM Punk right now, which is, like, really hilarious. Because, you know, they have you know, all the information for all the fighters, like their record, their reach. I mean, I know he doesn't have a record.
Yeah.
But they don't have his height, his weight on the UFC card thing. So I'm looking at MMAfighting.com. Let's see if maybe they have this tail of the tape. So age, CM Punk is 37 to Mickey Gall's 24. Height, they're about the same. I think CM Punk might be a little taller. CM Punk is 218 pounds. Mickey Gall weighed in at 170, it looks like, which is crazy. And I think Gall had maybe like a 1-inch reach advantage, if I remember what I... But anyway, comparable, to say the least. It's not like, you know, Brock Lesnar versus you.
Yeah.
You know. And even that weight difference is not... I mean, it's like 30 pounds, so... CM Punk's a little heavier, it looks like, than Mickey Gall. And that photo is kind of looked that way, too.
Well, it's more like almost 50.
Oh, yeah. I am bad at math. But you all knew that. If you've listened to the show before, I'm not great at a lot of things. Mostly taking up airtime. That's my big skill. But I don't know if you give a shit about the fight.
I don't really.
Are you going to watch it with me, or am I going to watch by myself?
Depending on how this weekend goes, you might be solo. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch wrestling when CM Punk was on WWE.
Which is fair.
So, like, I don't really care about him, and literally everything I've seen about him since just makes it look like he's a bitter, angry old fool. So it's not like the cult of CM Punk is strong, and I understand their appeal, but, like, I don't see it.
And, you know, it's very interesting.
And to me, he just looks like a jackass who didn't get his way, and so now he's going to try to do something, and he's ultimately going to lose at, because, let's be real, he can't be that good of an MMA fighter.
Probably not, but... It's, you know, what's really weird to think about, though, is that,
especially given how he hasn't fought yet due to a series of injuries,
right?
That, like, so if he wasn't a good fighter to begin with, now he has injuries he has to fight with.
What's so interesting about the whole CM Punk situation is that if you were watching, and I know you weren't, so this isn't obviously directed at you, but if you watched wrestling when CM Punk was coming into the company, he almost had this like before Daniel Bryan is about him, where indie guys loved him. Indie guys were like, he killed it on the indie scene. He's amazing. Give him a chance. And WWE was like, nah. And Paul Heyman was in the back fighting for him, being like, dude, he's good. Vince, use him. He's insanely good on the mic. He's great in the ring. You have to use him. And they kept not. And then they gave him the belt and they took it away. And they gave him a belt and they took it away. And they, you know, gave just various belts, ECW belt, heavyweight championship. And so eventually when he did the pipe bomb, and again, for us who were watching at the time, it was just like a mind fuck. It was just like he sat down after that John Cena match. And I'm sure you've watched the promo on like YouTube, but think about it like this. You're watching Raw. You're pissed because they keep fucking up storylines. I mean, we've been through this not too long ago ourselves, but they're fucking up storylines. And imagine if all of a sudden just a wrestler that you kind of liked and were enamored with, but he wasn't getting any push, just stopped at the top of the ramp and turned around and sat down and did that promo where he just got real and broke the fourth wall. It was like, this company sucks. And then they cut his microphone off and he just tapped it and went, okay, and walked away. And you're left with this, wait, what was that real? Was that what happened just now? And that all the dirt sheets were like, yeah, they really cut his microphone off because he really just went off the hinges. And that because of that, the company, much like when Daniel Bryan got his push because the fans wouldn't give up, the fans pushed so hard that gave him that push. And then he really did kind of walk away after Money in the Bank. It got everybody so wrapped up into CM Punk being that voice of the voiceless that, you know, he came back. Things were better for a while. He had the Undertaker match at Mania, was really good. And then kind of just misused him again. And he was like, all right, I don't need to be here. So I think that's why so many people who I don't agree with chanting CM Punk at shows now, because it's rude to the other performers. I mean, it is what it is. It's rude to everyone who's in that ring giving everything they have. I see why people are still enamored with CM Punk, though, because it was it was a beautiful moment and now it's gone. And he's never coming back. And we know it in our hearts, but some people can't admit it. I just am like, I support CM Punk doing what he wants to do. I hope he doesn't get I hope he doesn't get brained in the first round. I hope he goes to a decision.
Right, it's not an 8-second KO fest.
That's what I'm worried about. Is I'm worried about him just coming in there and
glass jaws it.
Yeah, just get his like gourd smashed in by Mickey Gall, and then he's just like, they're just like, well, TKO in the first round, and then he's just done. If it goes to the decision and he loses, he'll probably fight again at some point. If he gets knocked out, he's probably fucking done. And if he wins by knockout, which I doubt will happen, but if he wins by knockout, he'll probably definitely have another match, and I think that's great for him, that he's doing what he wants to do. Fuck, win, lose, or draw, he may just be done after one and be like, well, I proved to myself I could fight on a UFC card. I'm going to go back to drawing Marvel Comics. He might just do that. Or he might just go, you know what? I'm just going to go home and fuck AJ Lee. Because
he's going to wake up the night after UFC 203 and go, wait a second. I was the special guest celebrity appearance at the match that took the spot of a deserving opponent that I railed so much against in WWE. I am the problem of UFC that I hated so much.
Whoa. That's actually a good point, Bob. Whoa. I don't have a response to that except weird ghost noises. Because that's very poignant of you. I like it. I dig it. Also, real quick, before we get the fuck out of here,
got to wrap up with our backslash predictions.
And that's where we're at right now. So, we got
6 matches officially on the card.
Do you have them pulled up as well?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, I'll let you fucking read it. I'll put my phone away.
All righty. Well, I guess we have 7 matches on the card. Because the first match is the establisher match of Usos versus Hype Bros.
When you said establisher, I thought for a second you were saying kickoff show.
I mean, that could be. That'd be great. Match for the kickoff show.
We still don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah. Is this going to be a 2-hour pay-per-view? Is this going to be a 3-hour pay-per-view? Is there going to be an hour-long kickoff? A half-hour kickoff?
I think a half-hour. Who knows? I think a half-hour kickoff with a 2-hour pay-per-view would be very adequate and satisfying.
I would agree.
A 3-hour pay-per-view where they treated the first hour like a kickoff would also be acceptable. A 3-hour pay-per-view with an hour-long kickoff show is unacceptable. I would be very disappointed. Anyway, so establishing
match. So the establishing match is the Usos versus Hype Bros, because, you know, when you lose in a minute and then injure an opponent in the ring, you deserve a shot at the belts.
I mean, if AA
that's how that works.
If AA is quote-unquote injured, then it can't be them. And the Hype Bros, I could see kayfabe story here, it being unfair that, oh, so Slater Rhino beat Hype Bros on SmackDown, and then now because of injury they have to prove against the Hype Bros again. And if the Hype Bros were to win that match between the two of them, you would need to have a best of three to make it all things equal and fair. So I feel like Usos win.
I'm with you there. The Usos definitely win over Hype Bros.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with their heel push.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, that leads into the winner of that match, which we both are picking Usos versus Rhino and Heath Slater.
That one is going to be
for the WWE SmackDown tag team titles.
Ugh.
I feel like Slater and Rhino win due to some kind of intervention with Jason Jordan and the Usos, allowing AA and the Usos to continue to feud.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call Slater Rhino winning via shenanigans. So I guess we're so far in agreement on everything.
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, there are only 6 announced matches, not 7. Anyway, we have The Miz versus Ziggler for the IC Championship, which I feel like The Miz is going to retain.
I'm gonna. You're calling Miz retain. Yeah. I also am gonna call The Miz retaining, because I feel like with how big of a deal they've made about The Miz being a coward and winning clean against Apollo Crews at the last pay-per-view and last night, it was last night on SmackDown, or a couple nights ago for people listening at home. If you're just now joining us, how do podcasts work? Yeah, I think Miz retains, because he's been winning clean. He's been doing well. I think that they build it up a little more, and I think that if they have him drop the title, they'll have him drop it at the next pay-per-view to Ziggler.
Uh-huh. Have a rematch for this. All right, we have the six-pack, the first ever six-pack women's challenge for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship with Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Natalia, and Nikki Bella. Who you got, CB?
I said last night,
when there's really only 2 logical choices.
I said before, I thought that it Carmella makes no sense right now. She's too young. Carmella
makes no sense.
Then your other heel team is Natalia, who's a possibility.
A possibility.
Long shot, but possibility. And then who's
Alexa Bliss?
Alexa Bliss, right. Alexa
who
Bliss
also is too young.
Also,
just like Carmella.
Also too fine. I'm sorry, you said Alexa Bliss and my mind went blank. Then woo! Woo! It's just what was the quote on Reddit that we loved so much?
Alexa Bliss sit on my face.
It was just, and I believe, wasn't it like no context to the actual discussion?
Yeah, no, it's just a thing.
Somebody just was like, oh, by the way, let this happen. God damn. Becky Lynch makes the most sense to me.
Becky Lynch makes the most sense.
I feel like second most sense is Nikki Bella.
Nikki Bella, definitely second most.
And Naomi, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's a dark horse contender.
She could. She's great. She's really athletic in the ring.
Oh, yeah. No, honestly, like her whole face turned and her whole new look, she's really improved.
How many times can I say how good those glasses look, too?
Right?
The wavy one.
I mean, she's definitely made herself look a lot better.
Who do you got?
I gotta pick my girl Becky.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
It's so tough. I'm really struggling between Nikki and Becky. I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to go ahead and say this is Becky's moment.
All right.
So we are so far in 100% agreement.
Well, we got the final two matches here that I think will really be split on. We have the Viper, Brandi Broughton, versus the leader of the Vultures. I don't fucking know. Bray Wyatt. Eater of Worlds. That's right.
Eater of Worlds.
Bray Wyatt.
How could you forget who I am?
I don't know. This is the match I'm least excited about on this entire card. The build up to it has been weak at best.
Yeah, I actually said this, I think, last night with Gabe, or to people listening at home like two or three nights ago. I said, you know, man, if there was one more week, if this wasn't the go-home SmackDown that just happened, I would have said, oh, cool. They've done adequate buildup. I can't wait to see the final SmackDown before the pay-per-view to see how they really top it off before the payoff. But it's just sort of like, man, there just hasn't been quite enough buildup to this. And not like, I like not having the two people in the ring together. That's fine. Great. I totally get that. They should instead have like matches and then the other guys on the Jumbotron talking at him or something like that. Or, yeah, anything like that.
Even just doing it promo versus promo, you know, package video package versus video package.
Oh yeah. Or even doing like where they each have a match that night and then like Bray Wyatt ends the match with an RKO for some reason. So then Randy Orton's like, he wins his match with a Sister Abigail. I love those kinds of stories. You don't have to have them in the ring, but you do have to have a little bit more like connection.
Yeah. It's other just, than I don't like you because you're a snake.
Man,
and I'm gonna kill snakes.
I'm not. Don't tread on me, man. Don't tread on me. So yeah, they have to interact more. Who do you got? You going Randy? You going Bray?
Man, I want to say Bray. I'm gonna go with Bray because like he needs a push, and Randy doesn't need it. And you can say that Randy was still hurt from the 10 fucking staples he got in his head.
My brain is telling me Randy Orton is going to win this.
Right? That's the problem, though. Like, I'm following my heart.
I'm gonna follow Bob's heart and my heart.
God damn it, dude. And just calling every match calling.
And call Bray. I'm sorry, dude. I'm
just not making too smart of picks for you. I embarrassed you too much at SummerSlam.
Dude, you did whoop my ass on the SummerSlam predictions. I was just like, every match was like, oh, come on. Oh, come the fuck. Like, there was a few decisions I made where I was like, why did I pick the fucking Dudleys? That was stupid. But there were so many of them where I was just like, what? What? No. Oh, God damn it. Oh. So, yeah. I'm also, this is just what I believe is going to happen. It just so happens that you're a smart man and I'm following you on this one too.
Which
brings us to the championship.
The last match, which I think will create some divisive picks for us. Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles for the world championship. Man,
Dean Ambrose, he just do not want none. He just don't want none.
I'm going with AJ, the phenomenal one.
You know what? I totally agree. Dean Ambrose is going to retain. Yeah, Dean's going to retain this one, and they're going to strap. I mean, AJ's on a hot streak, but they're building Dean as like the centerpiece of, like, they're clearly building him up to be the strongest guy.
AJ's the new face that runs the place.
Yeah, I don't think that he's...
He beat John Cena.
Beat up John Cena.
Clean.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he did. Soccer mom haircut. I still think Dean retains this time, and I think that it doesn't... This doesn't wrap it up. I think that this goes to another pay-per-view with the same feud. I don't know if it'll be a dusty finish or not, but I do see Dean retaining and then them extending this feud and building these two up as the Stone Cold and Bret Hart, as the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. You know what I mean? Like, I see them building it up as these two being a feud for a while. Because, I mean, John Cena, let's be real, he's going to be out for a little bit. He's filming stuff. He's taking time off for charities and for his own companies and stuff. Plus, probably, you know, at some point, you know, like at some point, I feel like they'll like Nikki just came back. So they're going to like let Nikki have a little run. I feel like at some point, Nikki will also take like a month off to go off with John. So we'll definitely have to see. But yeah, so you're taking soccer mom though.
Uh-huh. He's just too hot on his win off of SummerSlam, and he's just, his in-ring performance is just so much more impressive than anybody else on the roster. Just,
he is good.
He's so good in ring.
How smooth that Pele kick looks every time.
And his mic work has been just like so much better. Like,
that was the one thing everyone was worried about when he came in.
Yeah, they were afraid that he wouldn't be able to hold up, but man, he's like in the top five talkers in the company right now.
That's pretty crazy. By the way, you want to hear a fun fact real quick? This is off of eWrestlingNews.com. If no matches are added to the card,
uh-huh,
that means that we will not see the Vaudevillains,
yeah,
Breezango,
uh-huh,
the Ascension,
yeah,
the Headbangers, who uh-huh are
debatable if they're on the roster,
but they're under contract. They have a short term contract, but they are under contract, and they also did not look bad.
They really did not.
Apollo Crews,
uh-huh,
Baron Corbin,
yeah,
Kalisto,
who's apparently injured, like real life Baron injured. Corbin? No, Kalisto. That's why we haven't seen him on TV for like since the draft.
I mean, I'd believe it, but Baron Corbin, Kurt Hawkins.
Well, he's not debuting until next week.
And then also, I mean, obviously Shelton Benjamin is
injured.
Injured as well. No Eric Rowan. No John Cena, obvious. Kane,
who yeah
is on the roster.
And, he did that really weird squash thing with Fandango.
Which made no sense. Why would he do... What? No, it wasn't Fandango.
It was Fandango, because Fandango pulled the woman out of the crowd and he was like, "You can't dance, you can't move your hips." And then Kane showed up.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different one. There was another one. It was where a jobber was in the
yeah room with like Lenny the Milkman Maltman or something.
That was that. It was pretty funny. But yeah, Kane. Where's Kane been? I mean, they drafted him higher than so many people,
yeah,
for him not... I would not have a problem if he was drafted in the quote-unquote like supplemental
yeah
post-show draft. Right?
But like, he was like main show like round three or something.
Exactly. Like, they were just like, Dana Brown's like, "I may regret this because Team Hell No, but Kane," it's like, I just wish if you drafted him so high, you'd fucking use him. But hey, what are you going to do, man? Otherwise, it's been a pretty good show. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We've been going for a little while. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again to Small Motherfucking Package.
Hey, it's tiny.
Tiny. Oh, and hey.
Gift.
Also, I need to, don't let me forget, and I'm not just talking to you, Bob, I'm talking to people at home. I'm going to pull from the audio from SmackDown this week. Mauro Ranallo said small package, I think, three times. I'm totally going to pull that out and make that part of our intro from now on in the song. Like the bum, 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 bum. Small package. Small package. In a small package.
Mamma mia.
Mamma mia. That's a small package. I'll just cut around the... Because it, like the spicy meatball fits, but it'll be like, "Mamma mia. That's a small package." This will not sound right at all. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I've been Corey Poindexter, and this has been
Bob Faggity.
So you can follow me on Twitter at CB Poindexter. Follow Bob at Bob Faggity. Just 1-0. You can follow us at Small Package POD. That's POD like podcast or the band. We will be back next week with another episode of Small Package on Friday, and we will be back with Tuesday night. Or Tuesday night Ross Live is almost what I said. Ross Down Live. We'll put that up Tuesday night after SmackDown. Had a little bit of server issues this week, but next week it should be up within about half hour to an hour of the show ending. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week right here on Small Package.
Small Package.